Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
Amen, amen. Everybody say amen. Everybody stand up real quick. Reach out and touch someone. Yeah. Yeah. Just say, Lord, bless them. Yeah, help us as the body of Christ to receive what you would have for us in Jesus' name. Yeah, someone give God a hand clap right now. All right. Yeah, amen, amen. Well, I want to welcome you in the wonderful name of Jesus. My name is Brian Higbee. I'm the senior leader here at City Church. And I just thought it might be important. How many appreciate the little handout that you get, the bulletin that you get every Sunday? Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate the effort that the staff puts into it and then printing it and our kids handing them out. It's really good. Sometimes, though, when you do things like that, how many of you have ever written something and it was just, it what you wrote isn't what you intended, but every time you proofread it, your mind kind of read it the way you meant it to say instead of what it does say. Have you ever done that before? Yeah, no one's ever done that? Okay, well, trust me. Yeah, okay, Debbie, you've done that, yeah. So that happens sometimes. So I just want to put up, these statements did not appear in our bulletin, but I thought it might be interesting to share with you some of the statements. Good, Colin, put that next one up. So this was found in a bulletin of a church. Yeah, good. The next one, please. Yeah, if you have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Good. The next one, please. Next Thursday, there will be tryouts for the choir. They need all the help they can get. I like this next one. It's pretty good. Irving Benson and Jesse Carter were married on October 24th in the church. So ends a friendship that began in their school days. Okay, next one. Please place your donation in the envelope along with the deceased person you want remembered. It must be a big envelope. Next one. This is very good. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use large double door at the side entrance. Out. Last one, ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. All right. Yeah. I was spending some time with the Lord this week, and I really felt like felt the Lord's heart, and that the Lord's heart was grieved. How many of you know that the Lord does grieve? You with me? I felt that grieving, and I it was my heart. Like, did you ever see one of your parents down? You know, they're for whatever reason, life just got tough, and your parent was down, and you want to do something to, like, please them, to make them happy, right? So you go out of your way to just try to do something to please your parent when they're having a rough time. And I kind of felt like that with the Lord. I said, Lord, I feel you're grieving. I feel your heart's grieved. And I wanted to please the Lord, but you know, I just didn't want to make light of it, and so I kind of dug into the Word because, I mean, and I asked this question. I said, Lord, what does please you? What pleases the Father? What pleases the Lord? Just say that out loud. What pleases the Lord? And I think that's an important question for us to ask. What pleases the Lord? I think sometimes We do things because we think it's pleasing to the Lord, But have we really asked that question? Have we really asked God what pleases him? We do those things and we count them as like, wow, that really made God happy. You know, it's like I used to take and I'd find things around the house when I was a little kid, and I'd wrap up and I'd give it away as Christmas presents, right? One time I went into our dining room, the kitchen drawer, and I took out a couple sets of knives, forks, and spoons, and I wrapped them up and I gave them to my mom for Christmas. I mean, my heart was right in that, but how many of you know that didn't cost me anything? I just went and found something that was already hers. And I think sometimes we give God what is already his, and we think that's somehow costing us something. You know what I'm saying? It's like when we give our tithe. You know, we're just giving back to him what he already gave us. I mean, tithing isn't a big thing, right? We make it a big thing because we convert it from his to ours. Does that make sense? Anyway, what pleases the Lord? Well, I think before we look at what pleases the Lord, it might be good to see what actually displeases or what grieves the Lord. I think that's important for us to just take a look at for a few minutes. And in Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, it says this. Man, it's hard to even read this verse. It says, the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And there it is. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth. He was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. That's a painful statement. Could we actually? I mean, because I think we kind of think of God as that emoji on the bottom of our phones. You know, that yellow smiley face. You know, that we kind of just tap when we want to say we like something or we enjoy something. You know, that yellow with the eyes and the smiley face, like that's God. I mean, he's always happy. He's always pleased. He's always, no matter what goes on, no matter if I accept him or reject him or if I, and I hear people talk, and I'm hearing that a little more often. I'm hearing, you know, people saying things like, well, everybody goes to heaven. Well, you know, God's always pleased. No, that's not true. As a matter of fact, there was a point in the history of the earth where God was so displeased that he considered blotting out mankind and all the animals. Like, he wasn't just going to take out mankind. He was going to take out everything that man was in charge of. Why? Because man so utterly mismanaged the whole earth. We were responsible for something, and we didn't do it well. As a matter of fact, but the reason we didn't do it well is because we didn't ask God what he wanted. Or said another way, we didn't care what God wanted. We wanted to do it my way. But the verse goes on, and here's the good news. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Everyone say that, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And my question is how? How did Noah find favor? What is it that was within Noah that Noah did that? What is it that made Noah different from everybody else? And God doesn't keep that a secret either. In verse 9 of chapter 6, these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. Everyone say righteous man. Righteous. Blameless in his time. Now, what made him righteous and blameless Well, we see in that next phrase, it says Noah walked with God. Are you with me? Yeah. Noah walked with God. That's been God's desire from the very beginning. As a matter of fact, our first ancestors, Adam and Eve, walked with God continually. I mean, they didn't just guess or hope or assume what pleased God. They talked to God. They walked with Him. You know, when it says they walked with God, it doesn't mean they just went for walks for 15 minutes a day with God. It means that they walked with Him. The Bible says that how can any two walk together unless they agree? That scripture does not mean unless they're in agreement on every point and then we can walk together. It means that we agree to walk together. And so therefore, as we walk together, Holy Spirit is in the midst of us and then we will agree. Are you with me? This whole thing isn't up for interpretation. The Word of God is not up for interpretation. The way we're to walk this thing out, the way that we please God is not up for interpretation. I don't get to determine what pleases God. God gets to determine what pleases God. Are you with me? And so it's important for us. And now, how do we know that, though? How are we righteous? How are we blameless? We're blameless when we walk with Him, and He tells us what makes Him happy. He tells us what He wants done. He tells Josh who Josh is, and then Josh pursues who Josh is, and that pleases God. I don't get to say to God, well, God, that's nice. Thank you. I like that you thought about me. I mean, yeah, you wanted me to be this over here, but God, I'm not going to do that. Instead, here, watch this. I'm going to do this over here. Now, I want you to be pleased with this. God said, but I can't. Because you've just dumbed yourself down. You've become something far less than what I called you to be. I created you and I designed. Listen to what He did. It says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? All right, we know that. And then it talks about in chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 26, it says, and God created man in His image and likeness, He created them. Those words mean that He both designed and created. In other words, He put together the blueprints, and then He actually put together you according to the blueprints. Not one of us on this planet has been ill-made. Not one of us have been ill-designed. We have all been designed. Please don't tell me that God designed you and then formed you in your mother's womb and made a mistake. I'm sorry, I don't believe you. I believe Him. I don't believe what that scientist would say when the scientist is in direct conflict with God. Like, because then your science is wrong. Can I be so bold as to say that? You say, well, you know, you're just kind of arrogant because you're saying that scientists could be wrong. Scientists said the world was flat. Scientists said the universe revolved around. Scientists said that. Doctors said to us, their science said to us, when your throat hurts, smoke cigarettes. It's good for you. Are you with me? I'm saying they're not always right. Of course science is good. Of course medicine is good. Most of the time it's very, very good. But sometimes they get it wrong. When they're in conflict with God, I choose to believe God. I'm not angry. I'm just passionate, okay? All right, so we as the people of the earth have grieved God. say, well, okay, but how do we please God? Thank you for asking that question. Matthew chapter 3 says this. Verse 16, after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened. Now you have to understand this picture. Jesus is roughly 30 years old, right? He comes down to the River Jordan. He goes to his cousin, the preacher, the evangelist, the one who's baptizing people. But it's important to understand, he wasn't just baptizing people. He was baptizing them into something totally unheard of at that time. He was baptizing people. He said this. He said these words as he was preaching to people, and they were being drawn. People from all over the country were coming because there was something that was resonating on the inside of them. They were being drawn to this man named John because his words had power on them like they had not seen for many, many centuries. And they were being drawn to this river, to this mucky, muddy, mud-filled river. It wasn't the purity of the river that drew them there. Come on, somebody. It's the words that man was speaking. They were anointed. They were as if it was the breath of God. And they were saying, what are these words that he's saying? I'm being drawn to them. And what are the words that he said? He said, repent. Turn around. Turn from the direction you're going. Just turn. It's not complicated. We're not asking for you to do cartwheels. Thank Jesus. He doesn't expect me to do cartwheels. He just wants me to turn. He's not asking me to even do a somersault. Come on, are you with me? He's not asking me to get up on the parallel bars like those gymnasts or on those rings and do this thing, whatever they do. You know, he's not asking for those complicated things. He's not asking me to be able to, you know, use a hula hoop, you know, and he's not asking for that. He's not asking for hard things. He just says one thing, just turn. Just turn. Turn from the way you've been going and turn to me. Why? Why does he want that? Because, well, God is controlling. Yeah, okay, sure. If you want to say that, you want to call that control when someone, I mean, I call it control if I'm going to step out on the street and you snatch me up and pull me back on the sidewalk. You say, I don't want you to go out on the street. You say, well, how dare you? Until the bus passed by that was going to hit me. And I'm grateful to you for what you did for me. You want to call that control? Call control. I don't care. But if I love you enough, I'm willing to put you in the place of your highest and best, even if you don't like it. And that's what God's doing right now. John the Baptist standing down at the river calling out, repent, just turn. No hula hoop, no rings, no parallel bars. You don't got to learn to ride a bicycle. You don't got to ride a skateboard. You don't even got to ride a horse. Just turn your body around and walk toward God. Why? Because there's something so great, so phenomenal, so amazing coming that if you become part of it, you will become the greatest version of you could possibly be. It's called the kingdom of God, the rule of God, God himself imparting himself to his people, taking some of himself and depositing in you. And when it gets in you, it affects you and it changes you and it makes you into something, some kind of super being that the earth has never seen. They're called the sons and daughters of God. It changes you. And then as it changes you, then you change the earth around you. That all this mess that we've been walking in, all this grieving of God that we've been doing, all this muck that we've been walking in and this nasty behavior and me thumbing my nose at God and saying, nah, I'm not going to do it your way, God. I'm going to do it my way. And we make more of a mess of the earth. All that begins to stop and change because the order of God begins to filter on the earth through you. Because you turned. And you said, God, I want you. I want everything you have. Watch this now. said after being baptized, because Jesus, come on, think about it. He's God. He could have snapped his fingers and made everything in order, killed all mankind and the animals. I mean, come on. Isn't that what God was going to do? And he could have done that, but he didn't. Why? Because he loves. His love, his heart is bursting for you. He's so radically wanting you and the brilliance that he created you to be and every good thing that you've been fighting so hard against, just as you turn to become yours. And he's down at the water because he knew this. He came as a man. He did. He humbled himself into a man. God himself poured himself into this vessel of flesh and tissue and lungs and a brain and feelings and struggles and emotions and all the things that you are and all the things that we struggle with. He beheld. And he became all of that because he wanted to make a way for you. He said this. He said, I am the way. I'm going to plow through, not because I have to, but because I love to. I'm going to plow the way for you, and you are going to follow behind me. And everything I get, you're going to get. All the good stuff the Father's been storing up for millennia is going to become yours. But you got to just trust me. Just walk with me. Just follow me. Do what I tell you to do. Go where I tell you to go. And I'm telling you, because I'm going to be there with you. I'm never going to leave you. So let's go. And Jesus went down to the river. That's where he began the process. And he said, I have to be. Because John said, no, I can't baptize you. I mean, you're God incarnate. He questioned that later, but at that moment, he knew who he was. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And he said, I can't baptize you. You should be baptizing me. He said, let it be done. It has to be done because I have to be the way. Yeah. I have to go first. I'm the first of all those who are born into the kingdom of God. And Jesus was put under that water. And when he came out of the water, watch this. It says that when he was baptized, he came up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove, lighting on him. So now, not only is he walking in the flesh, but the Spirit of God is now within him, igniting his spirit to be able to function in the realm of the Spirit. Are you with me? And a voice comes out of the heavens. Now, you have to understand, there's an open window now. In that moment, there's an open window between heaven and earth. Up until that moment, there was a divide. There was a separation between heaven and earth. But Jesus is the door, isn't he? He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Can I offer a little bit adjustment to that? He said, I am the door. No one can come unto the Father except through me. Right? Are you with me? And so he's saying that the Spirit is on him, and a voice comes out of heaven because the separation, the divide between heaven and earth has just thinned. It's open now. Everyone say, open heaven. And God says, this is my Son. And I'm telling you, the earth shook. Why? Because the first of the sons of God were just revealed. Heaven and earth, Paul says it this way, heaven and earth are groaning, are shaking, are shuddering, are clenching, are exuding for the sons and daughters of God to be made manifest. And so Jesus hears these words. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Why is God pleased with him? Because Jesus is doing exactly what he's supposed to do. Exactly what God intended for him. He comes to the river. See, he's coming to a dirty river because he's going to release onto the earth a heavenly river.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Oh, that'll preach. That's another message. All right. All right. But watch this. Matthew 17. So that's the beginning of his ministry, right? The beginning of his ministry begins with God saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." But may I suggest to you, it is not enough to begin well. May I suggest to you that Jesus himself gave us the example that we're to follow. It is not enough, say that with me, it is not enough to begin well. We must end well. How many of you know you don't win the race unless you cross the checkered line? Are you with me? You've got to finish well. I get it. It's important to begin well. Beginning is the foundation. I get that. But we're not to stop there. So many people stop after they hear those first words. They come down to an altar and they give their lives to Jesus. Listen, I was one of those. You know, if you want to call it backsliding, I backslid. I was 14 years old. I'd been living for Jesus for 5 years. He said, "Well, you were just a kid." I get it, but I'm still me. And I had struggles, and I had peer pressure, and I had life coming down on me. And I fell away from God for a 5-year period till I was 19 years old. It's not about just beginning. It's about running the race through your life and finishing well. Mm-hmm. Let's see how Jesus finished. Matthew 17. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up into the high mountain by themselves. Now, this is 3.5 years later. And he has disciples, men that he's forming the kingdom into. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as the light. Now think about this. This is how far Jesus advanced. He went from hearing a voice from heaven to translating himself into the presence of God, so much so that his physical skin began to glow from the light of heaven. That's how much he transformed. That's how much he grew. You say, "Well, Jesus didn't have to grow." Liar, liar, pants on fire. That's not true. It says in the Word of God that he grew. He grew in stature. He grew in wisdom. He grew in his maturity, just like you and I. He had to make the way for you. And if Jesus had to mature, you have to mature. If Jesus had to grow, you have to grow. Are you with me? And so he's now standing before his disciples and his skin's glowing. Why? Because he was as much in heaven as he was on earth at that moment. He's showing us something. He's giving us a key. See, he pleased the Father first when he went down to the river and engaged into who he's supposed to be. But now he's in this place where he's got 1 foot in heaven and 1 foot on earth. And it's even physically manifesting in him. How many of you know that God desires to manifest the kingdom of heaven on the earth through you? If we keep one foot in heaven and 1 foot on earth, people will begin around us to see the goodness of God in the land of the living.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. So, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. See, there it is. He's gone up through the cloud. The cloud is that place where two atmospheres collide. We've talked about that many times, right? That a storm system occurs when you have two different weather systems come together and there is a clashing of atmospheres. That's where the clouds appear. And so you have two different atmospheres, the atmosphere of the earth and the atmosphere of heaven, and they're colliding, and there's a cloud there. It's the gate between heaven and earth.
And Jesus is standing in the midst of that gate with one foot in heaven and one foot on the earth, and he's glowing from the presence of God. He's facing God. His eyes are on God because he turned and he's looking toward God with one foot in heaven and one foot on the earth. God doesn't want us just to be in heaven. Some people just live their lives in heaven. What good is that if you're not releasing heaven to earth?
Yeah.
Conversely, it's not good to have both feet on the earth. Because you can bring nothing supernatural. You cannot bring the return of the kingdom of God to the earth. And that's what God's after.
Yes.
That's what the earth is groaning for. The revealing of the sons and daughters of God. Are you with me?
Yes.
And so, he says this. He hears this voice as the cloud overshadows them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." So God is pleased when you initially turn to the kingdom. And God is pleased when you're functioning in the kingdom with one foot in heaven and one foot on the earth. Watch this, though. I'm intrigued by that phrase, "with whom I am well pleased." With whom? The one who is the object of the voice. How many of you know God speaks over you continually? You may not be able to hear it, or maybe you do, but God is continually singing over you his goodness. He's continually lavishing his will, his desires, his purpose over you. He's constantly speaking how beautiful you are, how amazing you are, how full of his goodness you are. You may be resisting it. You may be turned the wrong way. You're not catching what he's giving to you. All you have to do is what? Turn and receive it. I watched a football game yesterday, and it was funny. The quarterback was getting rushed, and he had to get rid of the ball. And so he threw the ball, and he bonked his own lineman right in the back of the head. And the guy turned around and looked at him. The truth is that the lineman couldn't catch the ball because he was turned the wrong direction. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Are you football professionals? Just I know, I get it. We've got to be turned the right way to catch what it is God's speaking over us. Jesus was turned the right way, and he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." That phrase, "in whom I'm well pleased," whom? The one whom the object of the voice is speaking. But notice what he says, "in whom I am well pleased." Where have we heard that phrase before, "I am"? Moses is saying, "Hey, who do I say that's sending me? I mean, I get it, like you do these amazing things, but who do I tell them?" He said, "Tell them I am that I am. I not only was, I not only am, I not only will be, but I'm all of that together. I am that I am." And so the "I am" right now is speaking to Jesus, the fullness of who God is, the completeness of the kingdom. Every good thing that Jesus will need, every good thing that you need is singing over you, is speaking over you continually. And if you're turned correctly, you can receive it. But notice what he says. It says, "in whom I am," you, "I am speaking over, and the thing that I'm saying over you is that I am well pleased." What's interesting, that phrase, "well pleased," it literally means, it's the same word we get the word "glory" from. It's in whom is glorifying who I say they are. In whom is walking in the opinion, in the design, in the creation, in who I created them to be.
Yes.
How do you please God? What pleases God? Being who he made you to be. You can't help but do the right thing if you are the right thing.
Yes.
Stand up with me as we close. This is Matthew 24.
It says, but of the day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven or the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. Say, just like the days of Noah. For in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Noah entered the ark with his family. The ark represented everything of God's will. He didn't get on top of the ark, he entered into the ark. He didn't hang on to the side of the ark. He didn't put a rope to the ark and have a rowboat behind the ark. See, I think sometimes we want to get near the will of God. We want to maybe get on top of the will of God. We want to let the will of God kind of pull us, but not lose myself in his will. Yeah. Noah and his family entered into the ark to where the world couldn't even see them. They saw the ark, the will of God, the presence of God, the saving ark that carried them into a brand new season. See, Noah entered the ark and he was taken to a new life. And the power of darkness was destroyed on the earth. Those who chose not to enter the ark were left, were taken away by the flood. Have to choose. It's a choice. Do you enter in? Do you turn and enter in? Fully enter into what God wants for you. His design. His creation of you. Do you walk in that? Do you talk in that? Do you allow it to form you? Do you allow it to adjust your thinking? Do you allow it to guide your tongue? Do you allow it to set your agenda? Do you allow God Himself to make your priorities? Do you allow Him? Do you become the design and the creation that He called you to be? And if you do, I'm telling you, there is a new life, and God will take you into the beauty and purpose, the goodness of God. You will see. You will see in the land of the living. The problem is, it takes something to do that. It takes an innocence. It takes a childlikeness to trust God enough to say, Lord, not me, not my understanding, not my will. Your will be done. Because it wasn't long after Jesus heard those words, those final words, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The last act of his life here on earth was lived out. He knelt in the garden and he prayed for you and I. He said, Father, I pray for those who are coming after me. Ask you strengthen me. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like going to the cross. I really don't. But it's not my will. It's your will. Because if I don't do this, then they can't come after me. And may I say to you, if you don't do this, there are those who cannot come after you. See, you're not living this life just for you. You're not living this life even just for your family. But if you become who he wants you to be, if you embrace turning, his will becoming your will, it touches mankind. That's a promise. Look, I know that most of us here have made that decision. But you know, life can be tough. Listen, it wasn't easy in the ark. It wasn't easy building that ark. It wasn't easy waiting after the rain stopped. It wasn't easy when the ark finally rested and they opened the door and they got out. And all the people that they loved were gone. All the ones who chose not to come into the ark were not with them. That wasn't easy. But see, they couldn't look back. They had to look forward. See, I believe right now we're in times that are very urgent. And I believe the earth has been grieving God. Do I believe he's about to destroy the earth? Listen, that's not what I'm saying. Don't hear that. But I do believe there is a time that God is standing up and saying, that's enough. I'm not going to allow this foolishness to continue. And what I'm saying, in those moments, you better be in the ark. Because if you're not, look, all of us are going to get taken. We're either going to get taken by being in the ark, or if we're left behind, we're going to be taken by the flood. My suggestion, get in the ark. Because in that, you'll find who you really are. Are you with me? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name, thank you. Thank you that you designed us. Thank you that you created us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your voice that we hear way off in the distance that's saying, hey, come. All you who are weak and weary laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you identity. I'll give you purpose. I'll give you a new you. Just come. Come to me. Turn. You don't got to do cartwheels. You don't have to run a hula hoop. You just got to turn. Just hold your hands out. So just as a sign to the Lord right now, would you just, if you desire that, just hold your hands out before him. Hey, Lord, I turn to you. Hey, listen, if you're watching at home, if you're listening on the podcast, just find a safe place. If you're driving, pull over, put your hands out in front of you. Say, Lord, I choose to turn to you now in Jesus' name. I give you my life. I want the life you have for me. I want to please you, Father. I don't want to grieve you any longer. I want to please you with my life. I want to become everything that you're calling me to. I don't want to just begin well, though. I'm asking for your strength. I'm asking for your presence. I'm asking for your help to finish well. Just say that. Just say, I want to finish well. And so, Father, I ask for those whose hands are out before you, who are ready to catch what you're speaking over them. Father, I declare over them now that by them simply doing that, that you're speaking over them. This is my beloved daughter. You're speaking it not just to angels around you. You're not just speaking it to the earth, but you're speaking it over demons as well, because you're marking your daughter right now. You're saying, this is my daughter. This is my son. Get your hands off of them. Get your hands off of their family. Get your hands off of their work. Get your hands off of their school, their house, their income. their dreams, their neighbors. I mark them now with my words. This is my beloved daughter. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I pour out to them the blessing of my kingdom. I pour out to them the goodness of my kingdom. I pour out to them the grace of my kingdom, the divine desire and ability to become, and out of them becoming, everything they do will be in the order of God and will be pleasing to me. Now, as you part from this place, know that you have been marked by the Father himself, that his goodness marks you. All you need to do to keep him pleased is one thing. Just keep walking toward him with your eyes on him. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, bless them and keep them. Make your face to shine on them. Lift up your countenance on them now and give them your peace and your grace and your goodness. I am so grateful for this bunch of wonderful people, these amazing sons and daughters of God that are earth changers. I'm thankful for the ones that couldn't be here today but are listening and are watching. Father, I thank you that they're earth changers as well. So I bless them with your blessing in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. City Church, go and be blessed. I'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higby. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.